And in our study of Jeremiah, we have come to where Jeremiah has gone through a number of years of contest and conflict with the Jerusalem and Judah and the people therein. And he's gone through that conflict, and it has taken a toll on him, as it would. He isn't being refreshed by the people, by the situation. The situation is very draining and wearing and wearing and wounding, gets wounded. Now, so with that, and so here is in chapter 6, we were reminded in chapter 6 and in verse 14. They have, prophet the priest, have healed, verse 6 and 14. They have healed also the hurt, the wound, the fracture, to break a bone would be the word. Fracturing, the state, the government, the situation politically, religiously, and otherwise is very fractured. It isn't whole, complete. It's broken. And the people are living in that. We have lots of places, including our own, in struggle. Countries of the world that are like that. Many of them. Too many of them. T-double-O. Now, so in the light of that, they have healed the hurt, the fracture of the daughter of my people, slightly, lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So here's the people, Jerusalem, Judah, and they are in the place where they are seeking to survive, and they're being encouraged that the difficulty, the fracturing, the brokenness, the incompleteness, the lack of any healthiness is all right. It's all right. And be at peace, when there isn't any, but so they're living in that. And they've chosen that. They've chosen that setting. Jeremiah, now I'm looking, here's Jerusalem, Judah. Here's Jeremiah over here. And Jeremiah, in the midst of this situation, is being wounded, wearing, and being beaten up himself. He's trying to survive in it and stay with it against all odds. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, to Leviticus. And in chapter 26, I think. Leviticus in chapter 26. And I'm looking at the word. I want you to get build a little sense of the word wounded, being wounded, so you can see how it works. Because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, how do we deal when we get wounded? How do we handle being wounded? Is there a medic? Is there someone? What do we do? Leviticus chapter 26, and in verse 21. And if you will, God to Israel, if ye will walk contrary unto me, different, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues unto you according to your sins. Now the word plagues is the word you're looking at. Plagues, wounded, being wounded. Plagues, hurting, wounds. Now, so having said that, looking at that particular word, which is a little different than the other one, it has to do with the judgments of God, the plague, used of the plagues of Exodus. God sent the plagues, the 10 plagues to Egypt. Now, having said that, that word over, if you would, to Deuteronomy, and you'll see it again. Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, and picking up, please, if I can, in verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful, awe-inspiring name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance, sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. So here's the word plague three times the word plague. Now, keeping that in mind, plagues over, and now over in Jeremiah, to take and get, you got the flavor of it, over to chapter 10 of Jeremiah. Now they're going to have, the unbelief will make problems, plagues, wounds. Now, in chapter 10, picking up, if I can, in the book of Jeremiah, and chapter 10, and picking up, if I can, over in verse 19. Chapter 10, verse 19. You remember now, Jeremiah is looking at that which is never going to get fixed. It's going to end up being judged. So there's no hope, no expectancy of anything getting better. The thing is going to die. Thing is going to be judged by Nebuchadnezzar in a very thorough way. So having said that, we shared together when we did chapter 10, and we came to verse 19, and Jeremiah, woe is me, for my hurt, my wound, there's your word, plague, my wound is grievous. In other words, I'm trying to help the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, straighten out. They are dead set against being straightened out, and they are against me as a false prophet. They are against me, my own family, my friends where I was raised are out to kill me. They're going to put me in prison a couple of times. They're out, they hate me. And so I'm in the middle of that. It's one thing to be at a distance, you know. Try to give you an illustration. If we were sitting at a table with 10 people to eat, and we were sitting at the table to eat, and all was reasonable between the 10 people, it would be somewhat of a reasonable comfort to eat, wouldn't it? What happens if we had one or two people that want to be picky and upset and critical at the table? Does that affect the eight? Does it affect the meal? Sure it does. So Jeremiah has got a whole country around him. Ezekiel's way over there in Babylon, Habakkuk, they're all there. But Jeremiah, as we shared 100 times, is right in the middle of it. So how would you like that? All nine and a half people are at him at the table. And he's trying to do the job, but they're picking, you know how that is? You have to understand, you must have faced it somewhere. If you haven't, it's hard. Wow. Now, so, here we are. Woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, no question, and we shared together at the time, I must bear it. Is there a way out? No. I would like to get out of this wound. I'm being wounded mentally, etc. And I'm getting bombarded. I would like to get out. Is there relief? Escape? No. You're going to have to live through it. You must finish the job. You must go through the process. You can't have the product if you don't go through the process. If you yell, wolf, ow, ow, and quit in the process, you never find out what would have happened if you had allowed it to finish and develop and grow. You would have never discovered, because you quit and you didn't get it. You got to live through it and work through it, pray through it, etc. So Jeremiah, you're wounded and you're going to have to stay there. That's right. Okay, hang on to that. Chapter 14. In chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 17. Therefore shalt thou say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach and a grievous blow. B-L-O-W, that's the word wound. Plague, to hit, to wound, to strike. Now, so, that's what, it's there. Is it a nice time? No, it's a difficult time, no question. And Jeremiah, can you get relief? No, not from that, not that way. It's not going to go away. Chapter 14, verse 18, excuse me, chapter 15. Now, in the light of showing God's grief, chapter 14, verse 18, chapter 15, verse 18. 15, 18. Now, remember we did this a bit ago, and Jeremiah is getting bombarded in all of it, and in the process, getting worn out. It isn't nice, it isn't easy. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. In other words, I'm looking to you, God. I'm trying to honor you, God, in the midst of a people that don't want to honor you. I want to believe in the midst of a people that aren't believing, and I'm all alone, and I can't join them. They drink and have fun and laugh and joke. And I'm not part of that at all, which is very good. Verse 18, why is my pain perpetual? Why is my pain perpetual? And my wound, there it is, incurable. Seeing the people exercise their daily lives without God, without being, look, they aren't trying to be on God's side, they aren't interested in God. And so my wound is incurable, which refuseth to be healed. There's your word. Wilt thou be altogether unto me a liar, as waters that fail? Now remember, that's where the Lord rebuked him and said, get back to what I said. Say what I have to say. Mean, say it. Don't mess with it. Just say it. Do what you're supposed to do, etc. And God would bless him. Verse 19 and 20 and 21. Now, having said that little bit, over in chapter 19, just one time past it to see it, chapter 19 and in verse 8, I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues, wounds, blows, striking thereof, that I'm going to do. Chapter 30, while we're thinking of that and putting it together. Chapter 30, picking up in verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Wow. That's Israel, Jerusalem. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, healed. Thou hast no healing medicines, nothing, etc. Verse 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Verse 15, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable, and the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. All I'm doing is helping you understand you can't go in the direction you're going, and I'm going to terminate Jerusalem, the temple, in order to stop it. Now, sliding down to verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thee of thy wounds, I'm going to do it, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built up upon her own heap, and her palace and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. In other words, I'm going to go and put the whole thing together. So it's all going to go downhill, but be of good cheer. I am going to heal. I am going to recover. I'm going to restore, heal, recover, make soundness again. I'm going to do it, but not yet, not yet. So God, it isn't that you've left. It isn't that you don't care. No, I'm going to do what I have to do. And when I do it, as I do it, and I'm going to look to you, look to God, and God is going to look to his wonderful plan and purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ to work it out. How so? Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 53, you would recall, in Isaiah 53, wonderful section on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him for reconciliation. He was going to make reconciliation for our sins. And, verse 5, the end, with his stripes, we are healed. Now remember Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, heal me. That's a command, Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, God, heal me, and I shall be healed. See? So Jeremiah is encouraged in the midst of it all. And here, there's the reason it can never, here's the reason God's going to fix things, God's going to heal them, God's going to work them out. That's why Jeremiah is encouraged. God, you can heal me, I know you can. Hang on to that. Now, here's Isaiah 53, and in verse 5, the end of verse 5, with his stripes, his wounds, the word wound, heal, being plagued, beaten. By his stripes we are healed. The blows that fell on him have brought us healing. By his scourging we are healed. By union with him we are healed. Huh. What do you mean? Well, God took you as a human being before you were ever born, before anything was created. God took you in his Son, when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, grew up and went to the cross. He went to the cross to take you, who before the foundation of the earth, God saw you, knew of you, and had you in mind. When Christ went to the cross, he carried you. And what happened on the cross? Isaiah 53. By his stripes, he was beaten. And where were you when he was beaten? In him. You were beaten in Christ. Who took the blows? He did. He took them in his own body. 1 Peter 2:24. He took them in his own body on the tree. He was there, and all that came against him came against him and not you. He bore the sin, the penalty, the punishment. He bore it all. And by his stripes, he bore for us all the blows, all the plagues, all the wounds. He bore them for us when he went to the cross. By his stripes we are healed. He did that for us. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, trying to go and put that together a little better personally. Now, in the light of that, over to Jeremiah again, chapter 17. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, picking up, if I can, in verse 14. Heal me, that's a command, I just said, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me, and I shall be healed. You're going to cause my healing, no question about it. Save me, a command, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So here he's looking. In the midst of all his wounds that are incurable to him, all of that which is hopeless in the situation, is Israel going to change? No, no, no. They're going to be plagued, judged, wounded, incurably. They're going to be judged. So now, here's Jeremiah, though, in the midst of that. And Jeremiah understands that what he's living in has to happen in the world today. We would like to not have the tribulation come, but the tribulation is going to come. You would like all the different countries, how it's going to work out with wars and rumors of wars, Matthew 24. And when he's all done saying that in Matthew 24, and then he says, after the wars and rumors of wars, the end isn't yet. The end isn't yet, though. With all the wars and rumors of wars, the end isn't yet. So now, God, you have to finish. That's right. So God, are we going to see any healing? No, no. So God, what? Jeremiah, what do you know? I know God heals. I know he does. I know God can heal me. That's what I know. I know in all the wounds that I am in the midst of and that I find happening around in me and about me, all of those wounds are there, but God's healing grace, saving grace, is more than sufficient to save me, to heal me, to make me whole, to bind up my wounds, to bind up the blows, the striking. Now, having said that, and remember now, in chapter 17, verse 9, the problem why none of this is getting better is because God tells us right off, verse 9, 17, the heart is deceitful and desperately above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. So, God, what are you telling us? You got a heart's a heart problem. Well, if we just give him a little better building, a little more money, a little more something, it'll get better. No, it won't get better. And as you said, as we say for the 100th time, in the millennium, you got perfect conditions. And it doesn't get better at all. And you got perfect conditions for 1,000 years. And it doesn't get better. And people lived for 990 years, 900 years they lived. With their heart wrong, for 900 years. You would think you'd want to get right after 900 years. No, come 1,000, boom, rebellion. It isn't going to, it's a heart problem. So, met Jeremiah, the wounds, the situation, the world that you're in, has got a heart problem with God. And cursed be the man or woman that trust in themselves. Now, so in the light of that, and in chapter 29, just to see that, so we got to understand, you got to finish the journey, you got to finish the program, you can't have the product without the process. Jeremiah chapter 29, picking up if I can, in verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a hopeful end, expectation. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, when I'm helping you, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search, you shall search for me with all your heart. The day's coming, not yet, the day's coming, and it's coming, but you got to go through the process. So now don't get up, don't lose it, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, I'm not. God, I know you can heal me, I know it. So therefore, we aren't sitting there in a hopeless state. We understand the healing is there in due season, in God's wonderful grace, in God's wonderful purposeful design and kindness. But we have to wait. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, having to wait. So what do we say? Jeremiah, what are you doing? You're aligning yourself in your thinking, where you're getting clipped in your thinking. The heart is deceitful, so you know where it comes from. It's your own heart. You know the situation around you isn't encouraging. So therefore, in your own heart, you understand you got a problem. Your thinking, your thoughts. Now, how are we going to override your thoughts? How are we going to fix the thoughts? The thoughts are wounded. They've been beaten up. And you get all kinds of opinions and fears and folly, foolishness and everything else. Now, how are we going to get rid of it? How are we going to fix them? When the heart's incurable. Well, God, you can do it. That's right. That's why Christ died on the cross, to make it possible. Otherwise, it's impossible. So you're thinking, God, Jeremiah, you align your heart with God's wonderful word in a most wonderful way. Over now, just to see a little bit, well, not even that. John chapter 15. And let's remind ourselves of a simple exercise. John chapter 15. Now you want to fix the wounds of your heart, your thinking, your body even. Body could get beaten up as people have through history. And therefore, we got to work on the word. So Jeremiah, you're listening, and remember the prophets, priests say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And you aren't listening to them, and the people are, but you aren't. You're looking to God, and God is telling you that it's going to get worse, and you're going to hang in there because that's what it is. And it isn't going to change, that's what it is. So, how is your thinking? How are you handling it? God, you're healed, you can heal me, and you're going to have, I'm going to rest in your words, your program, your purpose, your grace and your mercy. God, you do what you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it, and God be honored in the process. How's that? Be honored in the process. That would be my prayer. Be honored in the process. Now, so, chapter 15 of John, verse 7. If you abide in me, verse 7, if you abide in me, slide up now to verse 5, if you abide in me, if you the heart abides in Christ, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing, zero, okay? God, without you, it's not going to go anywhere, that's right. All it is going to be like the Israel, and it's incurable, unfixable. Jeremiah knows better, and he's looking to you, God. That's right. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you. My words find a home in your heart. I call the shots in 1,000 different ways. I call them. And you're trusting me, looking at my word as much as you understand it, as much as you can. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So God, we're looking to your words. We're going to look. And like Mary in Luke, in chapter 1 of verse 38, remember she was told, God, the angels, she's going to have the birth of our Lord Jesus. And she said simply in verse 38, be it unto me according to your word. I couldn't dream it. It's impossible. No one on earth will understand it. But you said it. Do it. Do it. Now, having said that, so God, what? Well, we got to let the words abide in us. And God calls the shots. And Jeremiah is God's spokesman. And Jeremiah has to keep going back to what is God saying. And God is saying what he's doing is perfectly in order, perfectly good. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And you would recall in Isaiah 55, and picking up in, you're familiar with it, chapter 55, Isaiah, if I can, in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Got to let him go. Remember, heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So God, that's what Jeremiah, the people won't do that, Jeremiah is doing it. The reason, God is going to have mercy and God is going to pardon. And God tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The whole different world. How much? Higher than. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when you're trying to go and try to think it through, right? You're going to think it through, God. And we read Ephesians 3:20, etc., and that, you know, and the encouragement in that as you're reading down through there. And then you hit that. And God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above and about all beyond one, everything, with everything and in every way, you're able to exceed beyond everything we could imagine. The words, according to all that we ask or think. John 15:7, abide in me and ask. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I work with my thoughts. I want you to know. So looking to there, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to you. We're going to go and understand you've given us your word. And therefore, we're able to go and trust you because your thoughts and your, that's what's working. That's what you're doing. You're working with your thinking, not our thinking. So I have to fix my thinking to adjust it to yours. Jeremiah, what are you doing? I'm adjusting my thinking to God's so that God, you can go and judge all that you're going to do. Fine. And I'm going to look to you in the process so that I'm going to come through this thing to your honor and glory. And I need to abide in your word to do so. And I understand what you say and what you do is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there's no way, God, I'm going to be able to sit down and analyze it and put it on a little piece of paper and have it. This is how it works. Because you can't do that. That's wonderful, actually. You can't do that. God's mind and heart is higher than the heavens. Right now, here we are sitting here, and God's mind and heart is higher than the heavens. God, how's it going, God? I'm doing according to my good will. And I'm looking for you guys, us guys, to get with it. I want you to harmonize with me. I want you to get on the same page with me. And Jeremiah, I've given Jeremiah, I had took time to record it, so that you would know. So now, Isaiah, let me finish that, because I want to get the word. Isaiah 55, verse 10. And for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's the weather. Wow. But, verse 11, not but wonderful, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When I say something and think something, that's what's going to happen. Just like the rain. I bring the rain down. You can't count the drops. You can't do. All you can do is receive the rain and the snow in all of its variety of design and everything. Wow. Now, so having said that, Isaiah chapter 6. And remember, the Isaiah ministry, he's going to go for 40 years, to speak to the people of Israel, etc. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat. That's what's going on. Here's assignment was. Make their ears heavy. I don't know whether you'd want to sign up for this. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert. And there's your little word, be healed. They don't want to be healed. Jeremiah, you do. They don't. The difference, I heal, and they don't want me, and I am the healer. Leave me out, there's no healing. That doesn't mean you don't body and don't take medicine stuff. They're talking about the healing of the soul, the saving of the soul. So here's Isaiah, and Isaiah is going to go for 40 years and minister a word according to his word, and he needs to understand it isn't going to come out, so be of good cheer. Be of good cheer and hang in there. Now, remember now, we'll do that little part quickly. Over to Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, and in chapter 5 again. And I want you to just I'm looking at the Old Testament, let alone the New. Deuteronomy chapter 5, you recall the problem. I'm going back now, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. Got that. Going way back, chapter 5, verse 29, remember, at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Verse 29, 5. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But they didn't do it. They had no heart. Chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, 6 and 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. Wonderfully, one and only God and Savior. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. But they don't have a heart. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verse 6. These words which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. But I don't have a heart. I don't want thy word if I hid in my heart. See, Jeremiah 15:7. If my words abide in you, I don't want your word in my heart. I don't want to be governed by it. And therefore I'm not. But the heart that's going to receive, you've got to love the God. You got to love God with all your heart, with all the every part of you. It's a wonderful thing. God, we're going to go and have a relationship to you that produces what? Life. Chapter 30. Deuteronomy in chapter 30. And remember, if I can, picking up in verse 17. 30 and 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I'm telling you what to do. Choose life, and that both thou and thy seed may live. What is life? Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, that thou mightest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave, be glued unto him. For reason, he is thy life. He is. And he is the length of your days. You're going to live as long as he does. That's like eternal life in the New Testament. You have a relationship to God, and the relationship to God is going to last as long as he does. So how long are you going to be? As long as the relationship. That's called eternal life. And here you are encouraging the people of Israel to pay attention and to love God with all their heart. God, it's a heart problem. That's right. We say it 5,000 times. It's a heart problem. And God, it's simple. We aren't going to fix the world. The media, the world, the book, people, persons, places, politics, power, privilege, people and privilege, all kinds of things. You got to live with them. And your mind is receiving it all the time, whether you're conscious of it or not. And you're getting bombarded mentally. You can even get bombarded physically. And in the process, you get wounded. So God, what are we going to do when we get wounded? We need God to help us. Because are we going to, God, take us out, even so come. But he hasn't come yet. So we're still in the same body. We still have the same genetic makeup. We still have the same everything, and all getting older and going through the process of what it does goes through. And God, here we are. And we can't get out of it. We can't get out of the gas prices and the store price and the people and the world and the economy, the global conditions. No. And Korea, after all, North Korea could send a missile over, you know. And hopefully someone has a good shotgun can get it. That's all I can say, you know. But I wouldn't sweat that. I wouldn't sweat anything. Don't you do it either. Why not? If I'm with you and I'm working out my will, you can be sure. If I want you to be here and you're going to trust me with all your heart, you are going to be safe as can be in the middle of my wonderful person. You're going to get wounded all over the place. But I am your healer. I am your health. I am your wealth. Now just hang in there and do it. Don't get all, just hang in there and run the course, run the race. And in the process, God, you're going to find my wonderful, God said you're going to find my wonderful life. Therefore, our life, as you would say in Colossians You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. Who is Christ, who is our life? For me to live is Christ. To die is gain, advantage, profit. That's how we do it. So we aren't trying to go through and everything. No, it has to go through. And you have to, you're in the body and you're in the world and you're left in the world to honor God. So Jeremiah, we see what you're going through, and we have no idea what you're going through because we don't go through that. But we go through our little bits, work, home, and school. We go through that in our country and the world, and we do it. So God, we want to learn from it. We want to learn, and thus we do. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, make their home, we'll get along quite well. My word is higher than, greater than, more than, other than anything you ask or think. So therefore, just trust me, just like Mary of old, God be it to me, unto me according to your word. God, you said it, do it. Jeremiah, I know you can heal me. Isn't that great? I know you can do it, but it will be in your time and in your way. And with that knowledge, roll up your sleeve and you go down the corridor of time. Wow. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Good. And lots of other little things, but I hope you got a little bit on that end of it. Just to understand the reality of life and how to survive. My words are life eternal. My thoughts are higher than the heavens. My thoughts to you, we don't have to turn there, Isaiah 40, 139. My thoughts to you are more than the sand of the sea. That's pretty good. My thoughts about you, higher than the heavens, are more than the sand of the sea. You couldn't count them. I don't want to count them, God. I want to enjoy them. I'm not going to count how good you are. I want to enjoy how good you are. That's what I want to do.